Thanks for tuning in to your Day Off Podcast, hosted by your boys, Corey and Tony.
I think by the end of today, I might have another best friend.
They're committed to making you fall in love with the hair industry, one podcast at a time.
You're going to grab a lot of information.
Yeah,
you're going to learn a lot.
Presented by Hairdistry.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it.
Your Day Off Podcast will begin after a word from our sponsors.
My name is Corey, and I am at Premier Orlando. First and foremost, thank you, Premier Orlando, for bringing us out once again. This is one of the finest hair shows in the country, and if you're listening in and you're not going to hair shows, shame on you. You should be here. The energy is amazing. Between ABS and between Premier this year, like, the hair shows are back, man. The energy's back. It feels so good to be on the floors. It's like the community. You know what it is? It's the community that's back, you know, and the community's back at the hair shows. And I encourage everyone to come in and hang out and you know, get some classes in, because hands-on classes are fire right now as well. But hey, so I've mentioned this a couple times on the podcast before. Tony couldn't be here with us this weekend. Apparently, he wanted to be in Iceland instead of being at Premier Orlando. So he gets a little bit of an excuse, or he gets a little bit of a pass, I should say. But we decided to do some roundtable conversation. So we bring in our friends, and we're just going to kind of chop it up this weekend. And this is our last podcast for the weekend, and all of them have been really, really good as far as the roundtable format. So I'm excited about that. So once again, my good friend Robbie Lawrence is sitting in with us. He has the Hairdresser Strong Show podcast and the Hairdresser Strong Show on Instagram. Definitely give him a follow. Robbie, what's up, buddy?
What's up, man? I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. Thank you so much for filling in for Tony's big shoes.
Yeah, I don't think that I'm filling any shoes, but I think I'm just, you know, trying to be supportive and get the chance to talk to great artists and stuff. So I'm really excited.
That's awesome. How was the show for you?
This has been very inspiring. Like, I kind of came here wondering if I was going to get some answers to some questions about my future, and I think I got them for sure. So I'm just inspiration, motivation, you know, talking to networking and learning, and so I feel like ready for like the next leg of my journey. So it was big for me this year.
So last year you came as media, and this year you came as media. What's been the difference between the last 2 years?
Well, the first time I came, I was like a fish out of water, kind of, and I was also like, it was like our first show, and we're like deer in headlights, and this year I felt like I really understood that, like, I knew more people, and I knew how to work around the room, and like, it's okay to, some things are okay to not, you know, trade off for what you're going to be able to see, because you can't see everything.
Right.
And, but I would have to say that it's like something clicked. It's like, you know, in the movie The Matrix, when Neo gets shot and he falls down and then he gets back up, he comes back to life, but he could see the Matrix code. It's almost like he can see how the world works. And I just had like an aha moment. And I think that's really what helped me, like, kind of for my own journey, you know. So that's pretty, my biggest difference.
That's pretty cool. I totally get that. I remember the first year that we were here, 2018, we were just kind of like, that's media, right? We were here 2018, and just how overwhelming it was, how big the lights were and everything. And then, you know, every time that you do it, like, the energy and the pressure, like, it calms down a little bit, and you know, hanging out with people is a little more relaxed.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so yeah. Actually, last night I got to I went to the pool with Maddie Conrad, and like, where Maddie's always been a really good friend, but you know, it's only been the last couple of years where like that guy that you see, that incredible artist that you see on the stage and on the Instas, you know, like, now he's just a bud that we hang out at the pool with, you know, which is really cool, and like it's kind of a cool transition as well, and to be able to actually that it's palpable and that I can see it and feel it and like, or not feel it as the case might be. So listen, today on the podcast we have somebody that we've been trying to get on the podcast for a couple years, but today it's going to happen. We say that a lot, but today it's going to happen. So our guest today is Joel Torres, and Joel, we're going to you know, ask Joel what he's up to and how his weekend went, but we'll get into that. Mr. Joel Torres, welcome to your day off.
Yeah, finally we did it, right?
We did it, man. All those we exchanged about 1,000 DMs to make it happen, but it make it happen.
Yeah, I was like checking our conversation the other day. I was like, I feel bad because I never got.
Because you drop the ball every time, Joel.
You know what happened on Instagram? Then you receive like I don't know, like 25 messages, and then it disappear.
Yeah. And yeah, because if I know that because like if I get a text, I have a bunch of them right now. If I get a text message that I can't respond to, I don't respond to them until I have the time to, you know, to take care of it. But on Instagram, if you do that, once they get out of like your front scroll, they're gone. Yeah. You know,
and then you don't have the notification that you have unread messages.
Exactly.
So
yeah, I don't find Instagram DM particularly that good for conducting a business. I know they're adding lots and lots of features and getting better, but I really don't like the usability of the messaging portion of Instagram personally.
Yeah.
Oh, here we are.
But here we are.
Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. I'm glad that you could make time to do it this morning. And Monday mornings are tough for the hair show. We were just talking about that.
Yeah. I decided to go to my room, be a good boy, so then I can be responsible. Here I am.
Be here right on time.
Yeah.
I was a little late, so maybe I was a little bit less responsible. I was responsible last night because I just went to the pool with Maddie instead of, like, you know, going out. But I wasn't feeling so hot last night. If you listen to the podcast that we did with Jacob Kahn, you know why I wasn't feeling so good last night. So I didn't want to be that far away from my hotel room.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, Joel, where are you from?
So my name is Joel. I have an accent, and that's because I am born and raised in Puerto Rico.
Oh, nice.
I've been living in the state for the last 12 years, 13 years. Yeah.
Oh, so you're kind of new to the U.S. It wasn't like you came over as a kid.
Yes, yes. And I first did this show in 2004. So by that time, I was working or trying to make my way under the Tony and Guy umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
So I have my first opportunity to be on the stage, not on the stage, on the sales booth.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked 3 years before I got into the stage. That was my training. My English was bad. So they put me, just sell. It's just Orlando. Everybody speaks Spanish. So you can be, you know, super helpful helping with translation. And it's like, translation? Wow, I only know Spanish. I can translate to Spanish to Spanish. But I was, you know, numbers and hey, this. So that was like my first year. And then every year I was practicing more and more. And today, my English is better. Still have the accent, but
you can't hear it at all, Joel. There's nothing there, man. That's all. How'd you find the hair industry?
I used to do hair like since I was like super young. You know, my first haircut, I was 12. My cousin. I didn't finish the haircut, by the way. I only have like one clipper and no attachment. So that was bald all the way to the sides. I was like late 80s. But then practicing, you know, every week I was getting better and better and better. I was going to the barber shop and then watch the barber just cutting hair. And then every time we got a new client, I was like, just go first. And I was just sitting in the barber shop just watching him and then going to my house and try to replicate. Right? There was no school at that time at that age.
Right.
So I was just, you know, watching the barber doing his thing. And a funny thing is that, you know, he gave me a couple of attachments. So they gave me two number two attachments. I said, like, well, I need one number one. So I took that number two. I went to the sidewalk and I make it.
No,
I made my own number one.
Nice.
It was sharp.
It was sharp.
I was crushing everybody's skin. But then I started charging $1, $2. And then I bought my first number one. And then, yeah. That's how I started.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the first clients that I have in my house, because they were in the same neighborhood, it was Daddy Yankee.
Really?
Yeah. La Gasolina. He's famous for La Gasolina and Despacito.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. So he was one of my first ones. I think I was like 18, 17 when I cut his hair the first time in my garage.
Does he still have the scar on his head from that number one?
Probably.
Oh, man, that's probably really cool.
Yeah, so it was cool, you know, but, you know, in the Caribbean, everything is short, like fade. So it was super nice for me, you know, having like that many clients or practicing in my garage. But I wanted to be an architect. So I decided to, you know, I'm not going to cut hair. I'm going to the architecture school. And I went there for like a year, maybe, year and a half. But I was lost. I was like, this is not for mom. Can I just change career? Can I go to the barber school and see, you know, if I can, you know, do this? At least until I find what I love.
Right.
Like I was trying to push that, even though that I have the skills, right? From my grandfather, he was barber. So, yeah, I continue with that. And yeah, I went to three different schools. They closed the first one. Almost I'm finishing, they closed it. I went to another one, and then they didn't let me finish. Something with the, you know, like they have like the Bell Grant.
Yeah,
some financial aids and all that stuff. So it didn't work with the second one. So after wasting my time for 3 years almost, I took a break and I decided to go back to school. And the third one, I finished barbering, and then I went all the way to cosmetology and I did it. After I finished and I got my diploma, they closed that school. So I was super close to lose my time again. It would be like 5 years.
Holy cow.
I don't know how I did it. You know, I was like, something was pushing me to just go back. You know, there's something in this industry for you.
Wow. Even with like, and there's so many barbers, I'm not throwing shade, let me be clear, but there's so many barbers that are working without a license, and like that's not even important to a lot of barbers. I'm surprised that you even had the gumption to finish it. Like, you're like, I can cut hair. I mean, who's going to keep me from cutting hair? That's what I want to do, right? Why do I need this license to validate that? By the way, let me be clear. I'm not in favor of like not licensing. That's not what I'm saying. But being in that situation, being that it seems like the industry it keeps taking shots at you, right? And you couldn't finish school. That you would even like decide to, that it was that important, you know what I'm saying? As opposed to just cutting hair.
Yeah, I took my test and I did all my, you know, all the things that I have to do for my license, and I got, you know, both license. And that's like a second chance in my career to, you know, finish.
So did, when you finished school, did you go to a barbershop or a hair salon?
I started in a barbershop, yes. Uh-huh. I started in a barbershop, and then I was a student, because I was barbering, I was working in the barbershop, but then I was in cosmetology school by night. Mm-hmm. So I was like finishing the entire day, hair. And then I was a competitor for the school. So we went to New York twice, 99 and 2000, 98 and 99, I think, IBS. Mm-hmm. The first time I went there, I placed like fifth out of 30 people. But I said like, I want to come back and see if I can do better. Take it seriously. So I went back to Puerto Rico. I started practicing almost every day for a year. And then I went back and they said, well, you can compete in men's and women's. Mm-hmm. And then you can get the New York Cup. I said, like, overall. And I said, well, that's a challenge. Maybe I can do this. Okay, let me practice. So I started.
Hold on. What were you practicing when you went home?
With the mannequin.
Right.
And then for men's.
Like just haircuts and stuff like that?
Haircut and style mannequin, like at the commercial, which is not commercial at all, but that was the name. And then in women's, it was just styling. So for my surprise, I placed second on men's, but I placed first in women's.
Nice. What?
So I said, like, there's something here. By the way, I have to decide this because it still hurts. So my last name was spelled wrong. So they counted like two different people. So they didn't give me the Cup of New York there. They gave it to someone else. It didn't make sense. And I was trying to fight, but my English wasn't good. So to fight it. So the director of the school said, no, don't worry. Like, let's just go home and figure it out. But nobody supported me. So I have a client who speaks English. And she helped me send a fax to IBS. And they say, oh, we found a mistake. You won the Cup of New York. We're going to send it home. And I said, yeah, but I wanted to be in the podium with my flag, right?
Sure.
So that was like unfinished business. And that still hurts today. You have no idea.
That's crazy.
But it's also one of my greatest motivators, right? Mm. So I use that fuel to, you know, okay, it's still Herbert's. Let's there's some work that I have to do to work more.
Right? So if we were to take you there and we were to put you up there with your flag and stuff, well, we'd have to like put like a younger AI filter on you so you're that young
AI,
boy.
I can do it.
You can do it. Do it.
I don't know where is that trophy though. My mom, I think that she threw it away.
Oh no.
Mom.
Yeah. That hurts too.
Speaking of throwing shade.
Crazy. But yeah, that's how I started in the women's industry. And then I left the barbershop and fighting with my coworker, and I just, you know, took all my stuff, and then I said, like, I'm going to start, you know, working in a salon. So I quit all my clients, and then I was a shampoo boy in a salon, a really nice salon. I have to go with a tie, like, super dressy. Right. It was super fine. So I learned a lot of discipline, you know, a lot of stuff in that salon. And that's how I started in the women's industry.
So you started over again, like after all, like the school stuff. And then like, you're like, I'm leaving the barber and I'm, wow.
I identify at some point because, you know, you spent a couple of years in school and in between schools and stuff. So probably like I was 20 something and I went to, you know, this salon and I noticed something. It's like, well, just get a good mentor, learn from them. And then you see big difference in your career. So I was making sure that I was mentoring the best in Puerto Rico. I think I did. Mm-hmm. I think I did some of the best, like top 10 hairdressers. And that's how I got my discipline and, you know, and all that. And some of the people that I still remember one person specifically that he was working all the time, cutting and the body position. It was just like classical music. Mm. And I said, this dude, right? And I said, like, where's your education? Like, you know, where do you went to school? And he said, like, but it's Tony and guy in Sassoon. And then he said, I have something for you, Joel. So he gave me VHS collection of Tony and guy. And I went to my house and I was watching that every single day. I was like, damn, this is amazing. Can I curse?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. You did it already.
Cool. Damn. So I saw that. I was like, yeah, this is music to my ears. So I started my journey, like, you know, studying at home until I found education for, you know, Tony and guy in Puerto Rico. And I was just, man, I want to take these classes, but I don't have any money. So maybe I can offer, hey, can I stay in the room and clean the room after the class just to do a trade? And that's how I started. I literally cleaning the floors for them.
That's like, I think there's a lesson there.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think there's a lesson there. I think that's the way in the room, because I think if somebody's willing to come and clean up and to do whatever that needs to be done, like if you're a brand or if you're a whatever, take that person.
Yeah.
Because that person's fired up. But the person that's looking to like slide in or whatever, like, I don't necessarily know if they've got that drive.
And I shared this story with other people. Like, if I'm doing a class and I see a lot of young hairdressers and they ask me, what is the way? I said, like, are you really want to do the way that I learn? Because new generations are different, right? They want it now, right? So I said, this is how I did it. And it works. Mm-hmm. If you want to find like a faster way or whatever, maybe social media can help you. But and you can get there, but the discipline and the principles and, you know, very responsible. Yeah, you have to start from the bottom. Because then you can appreciate more. You're more thankful.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think I'm in a good position that I know my the real OGs and the mentors that I have, and then the new generation. So I'm in the middle. So I know a little bit of one thing, and also I know a little bit of social media aspect of the business. And I feel great. And I try to be like a connection between both eras.
Right. Right.
Maybe one person from 100 is going to listen, and I'm fine with it.
I mean, that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
You know, reach who you can.
Yeah.
You know, don't reach everyone. Reach who you can, you know? You brought up classical music, and this morning I was, like, scrolling your page, and you do so much of your cuts to classical music, and I go, that's cool.
So when I'm backstage, and I have to do a haircut, and I know that I need concentration, and the room is really loud, I need to have my headphones and I'm playing classical music.
So what's the connection to classical music?
I don't know. It just made me concentrate a lot more on what I'm doing. It made me isolate from the madness outside. It's hey, people screaming and saying a lot of stuff like my classical music and I'm there cutting.
There's research that shows that classical music kind of opens up certain pathways in the brain to enable focus and learning and stuff like that. I do the same thing when I'm working in a cafe on a computer or something.
Yes.
I just put my headphones on. I listen to classical unless it's really loud. I might put on some opera or something, something a little bit louder, but yeah.
You know, my favorite thing to do was when I, to go onto like country back roads and put on opera and then I feel like I'm in a movie script.
Yeah, it sounds like a movie. Yes.
You know, but it totally works.
Yeah.
Like, dude, like, just like, and like, you want it loud. Like, you don't want to hear the road noise. You just want to hear the music. And then, you know, as you're zipping through on back roads, it's really, really cool.
When I travel, one of the things that I like to do when I travel, I put my headphones, I walk the cities, and I like to take architecture because I still have a strong passion for architecture. And I use it for here. Mm-hmm. How you build foundation and structure. Well,
you've
and
got
that.
Good company because, you know, that's exactly how Vidal Sassoon got started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I found a connection one with the other one, and I use it for my work. But when I'm traveling, I put my headphones and I go in the cities and I take pictures of the buildings, the corners, and I make a story, black and white, everything, of my journey that morning in the city while I go to a coffee shop. And I just go crazy taking pictures with classical music. It's contemporary classic. It's not like Beethoven. No, it's like a combination of new and old.
Okay.
And I like it a lot. Nice. And sometimes I ask the model, can you guess what I'm listening to? And they think that I'm watching, like listening to Rob Zombie. It's like, nope. This is what I'm listening to. Like, oh, I didn't expect that. But then it's like so calming.
It's so calming. Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter how many years you've been in the industry, you get chills. You get the butterflies, right? So it's something big is going to happen. You're going on stage or there's a presentation. You're responsible for the presentation. So I just want something to ease my mind.
That's nice. It. Do you have a Spotify playlist that you can share with our listeners?
I can create one.
I think it's a good idea.
I think it's good.
A really good idea.
Yeah.
You certainly would get me as a follower.
Yeah, yeah. Me too.
Awesome.
I would just be interested to see like what's Joel listening to.
I might use that for when I'm working on stuff too.
Yeah. And in the salon, you know, depends on the vibe and the day. I change my music, but I start with some morning bossa nova. You know, there's a lot of covers band that they play Bossa and Roses. Bossa and Stones, like Rolling Stones, but Bossa Nova.
Whoa, really?
Oh, that's cool.
Bossa and Marley, Bob Marley, but on Bossa Nova. So I start my morning with that, and it's incredible, like chill. And then I go into lo-fi, beats, stuff like that.
I so wish we had Wi-Fi right now because I would pull it up, you know?
Me too.
Whoa, that's so cool.
Yeah, super cool.
That's really cool.
That music, like, you know how it's music, so I have to play my music in my studio and do my class. I used to do this. I used to work in a salon from 7 to 4, but from 7 to 9, I was by myself. So I would tell my client, if you book the first appointment or the second one, bring your playlist and I'll play for you.
Nice.
It was a good idea until I found a couple of clients doesn't have the taste. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I need to, you know, finish this client. I don't like the music. Crazy.
He's judging people by their music selection. Yeah. After he offers it to him, like, no, this sucks.
Show me your playlist and I know who you are.
You know that? Show me your playlist, I know who you are.
That makes me think
that might be the title of the podcast. Yes. Show me your music and I know who you are.
Oh man, we had a situation like that in the salon recently where the front desk person was playing some sort of like, I don't know, it was like screaming sound. I don't know. I know whatever genre that is, like heavy metal or something like that. I don't know. But they were literally rah, rah, rah. And we didn't really notice it until the song changed. And everyone looked around. I'm like, oh my gosh. I just realized I was under some pressure and some intense like stress. We had tuned it out, but we hadn't realized that we were actually being impacted by it.
Yeah,
music's so important.
Yeah, when you get a tattoo, like they don't listen to classical music.
Right.
They're hardcore.
Right, yeah.
They're mad.
Right? Yeah. Getting all deep.
Yeah.
It's a bone tattoo. You mentioned your salon. Do you you work in a salon suite?
Yeah, so during the pandemic, I live in Dallas. Mm. And during the pandemic, there was a lot of people asking me, hey, I see your tutorials, you're in Dallas. Do you have a salon? Are you accepting new clients? And some people were like, I live in LA, but I really want to come to Dallas to get my hair done by you. So one day I said, why don't maybe, because I wasn't traveling. Mm-hmm. So I said, maybe I can actually get a studio or like a suite or something like that. So I have a couple of friends that they own a studio and I asked them and said, yeah, man, you can do it. So I put on my social media looking for you know, like a suite in this area. And there was a couple of people who reached out, and, you know, I went to this space and I took one of the spaces. It's like I can put three stations on my on my suite, so it's kind of big. Nice. But I don't have the shampoo bowl inside. There's like half of the salon. Shout out to Abstract Studio for supporting my career. I love you guys.
Where to go, Abstract?
Yeah, Abstract in Frisco, Texas. So, yeah, the owner said, I would love to have you here, you know, with us in the team. And I don't know, it's something about what she said. And I was like, this is it. I like the energy. And I have my studio there. So it's only me. What I like is I only work on Friday. So I close the door and then I can travel. I have a couple of lights there, but I don't have to move things around.
Right.
So, yeah, that's my little studio. I only do clients on Fridays. And the rest I'm traveling for work.
Right. So you fly out on Saturday or something.
Saturdays or Sundays. Yeah.
Are you traveling like Wednesdays and Thursdays?
No.
Normally.
So, I like to have, if I'm traveling, for example, Sunday through Wednesday, then I have Thursday off to relax. Then I do client Friday and then Saturday off. And I love cars. So that's the day for auto shows and stuff like that.
Really?
So I can enjoy Saturdays in Texas, especially now spring and summer. There's a lot of car shows and stuff like that. And then on Sunday, I go back on the road. So I have a good balance of, I don't want to kill myself like working 2 and 3 days in between my trips, because then I'm miserable. And my main income is coming from education. So doing client for me is important, because if I'm going to be in front of an audience and I'm going to be talking about, this is how you cut hair behind the chair, but I don't cut hair behind the chair.
Right.
I'm only an educator. Because I know a lot of educators, they're only doing education full time and they do a great job as an educator. I'm saying that my conversations today my conversations today as a hairdresser that works with clients, when I'm in classes teaching, it's a different conversation. I feel more connected with hairdressers in general because I have the same challenge that everyone has.
Right. Right.
So I like it that way. I like to have, you know, both.
That's good.
That's really
and
good.
Keep me grounded, right? It's like I have a challenge with this hair. Oh, I'm not that good. Like I think it. Oh yeah. Let me find out with this client what I'm gonna do, right? Direction, maybe a cowlick. There's something, right? So you just, I like it.
That's good. So what kind of car shows do you go to?
Well, there's just many, right? But I like to watch some classic cars, you know, of course.
Goes with your music.
Yeah, exactly. And then in that day, if it's a classic cars, then I play my, you know, like blues and stuff like that on my way to the car show.
Yes.
And then others, exotic cars or a little bit of everything, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a big one in Dallas, the first Saturday of the month. And they have a little bit of everything. So one exotic car in one side, then the classic in the other ones, and racing cars in the other ones.
Do you ever see Richard Rawlings at them?
No.
He's right in Dallas, man.
I know, but I haven't seen him.
Huh.
Interesting.
Well, he's worried about like selling cars, not showing cars probably, you know?
Yeah.
That's good. You know, it's interesting. Like when I was younger, like I was all about the exotic cars. And as I've gotten older, the cars that I enjoy seeing are the classics.
If you have $1 million now, what car you will buy that is classic? Mm-hmm. This is my podcast.
No. It is your podcast, you know, whatever. $1 million classic. Well, it doesn't have to be $1 million.
But you have money.
Right. It doesn't have to be. Here's where I live. I love the old, like, I got it, like a 56 Corvette, but it has to be like a retro mod. Like I'm not interested in the old like gearboxes. I'm not interested in the old like motors and stuff. Like I want like ABS. You know what I mean? So take like a 56 body and put it on like a retro mod a car.
Nice.
That's it, man. Nice. But like it would be like, it would look as like, it would be like that red and white thing, you know, the red and white look on there. And then, but it would definitely be a retro mod. Like I'm not interested in like those old cars, as cool as they were, drove for shit. And by the way, I just looked this up actually, is that like the legendary car is like the 66 Mustang Cobra. You know, I look, that thing was only pushing like 200 horsepower, and now for like $10,000 you can buy a car that's pushing 500 horsepower. So yeah, it's amazing that this is this car that like it was this legendary like speed demon. You're like, one, it's about 5,000 pounds, and two, it was pushing like, I think it was like 280 horsepower, and like everything out there now is blowing that away. So yeah, I would like to have like today's technology on that old on that old.
It makes sense.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
But did you see that Nicolas Cage movie where he that was the main car, the Shelby, the GT500, 67 GT. 500 Shelby.
Yeah, Eleanor.
Eleanor. Yeah. But it's a Restro mod.
Okay, well, all I know is my answer is that's my car right there. Ever since I saw that movie. What was that movie, by the way?
Eleanor.
Gone in 60 seconds.
Yes. I was like, yes, that's the car I want. That's so cool.
So yeah. I bought the 2015 Mustang because 1965, 2015. So 15
those
years.
Are the fastbacks,
oh,
right?
Nice.
Didn't they make those the fastbacks?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it kind of looks like the...
It very, like... Yeah,
has
the
that
same,
look,
the
yeah.
same feeling, and even have like on the on the front it's like 50 years, so oh, cool. I like it, and yeah, that's the car that I drive.
So you kind of have a retro mod in a weird way.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. It looks retro, but then you have about 500, 600 horsepower.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't barely use it, but it's in my garage. You know, whenever I go there. But my dream car.
Yeah.
I won 1980s or 90s. Porsche.
Which one?
911, 993. I like the shape with the wing on the back.
Yeah,
I like the white body.
Dude, those Porsche GTs are sickening.
Yeah, I know. But then I look into the new ones and it's like, oh my gosh. The speed, right?
Yeah.
The look and the speed.
Mm-hmm. So maybe you just take the engine out of one and stick it in the body.
Because a GT3 is like very expensive.
Very.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is on my bucket list.
They are sexy though.
Let me see if I can get a new contract after this podcast. Yo, I work hard.
Maybe Mustang will be your sponsor. You just got to drive it to all the shows.
I think he wants Porsche as a sponsor.
Oh, yeah, Porsche. Sorry, yes. Porsche. Yeah, Porsche could be it.
But, when did you come to the U.S.?
2012.
Full-time.
Full-time. Yeah, because I was working for... company, right? Mm-hmm. Back in the days. And yeah, they have a big opportunity, but I needed to move because flying from Puerto Rico, it was every time I was going to Brazil, South America, it was like going to Atlanta or Miami and then go south. It was too much of a travel. So then I said, hey, what if I move to the States? But I need to, you know, get better on my English. So I started practicing, you know, getting a couple of my friends there here in the States, you know, Robbie and Domenico, we used to work together, and I was just, you know, making phone calls, trying to have a conversation with them, practicing more and more and more until one day I decided to move to Miami and then started working more and more in the States, like doing classes. It was hard. I remember this experience. I was in a class and my accent was really, really, really strong back then, and my English wasn't that good. So there was a lot of people just a few kind of upset with me when I was teaching. I don't know, maybe it's like, well, you know, who is this guy? You know, I don't have anything to learn. Mm-hmm. So I say, hey, I have a lot to show, right? I speak with my hands. So if you stay, if you bear with me, you're going to learn something today. I promise you, right? So there's a few people to stay in the class and I finished the class and yeah, they're still in my Instagram, like, you know, sometimes like commenting and supporting.
Nice.
Now it's different. But that was like my first couple of classes. I think it was either North Carolina or Atlanta or Georgia, one of those. It was like the first places that I was visiting, Florida and those two. And then I started like getting to know more salespeople inside of the company. And they were like just bringing me to different cities. And that opened up like so many opportunities for me. So I still do Latin America a little bit, mm-hmm. which I just, you know, came back from Argentina. I was there for 2 weeks. 5 days ago. And then, yeah, I'm teaching more in the United States now. That's so I teach more in English now than in Spanish.
When you ended up in Dallas, was that because of Tony and Guy?
Yes, because then the headquarters were there and there was a big opportunity there. So I did 2 years in Miami and then they moved me to Dallas. And yeah,
A-Rod did the same though, didn't he? Didn't he go Miami, Dallas, and then L.A. and now he's in Chicago?
A-Rod. Well, but he's a military.
That's right.
Right, so he was in Texas, you know, for I think it was El Paso, maybe. I think it was
El Paso. You're right.
And then, he started traveling like that.
What brands are you working with now?
So right now I'm working with Babyliss, mm-hmm. part of the Babyliss Pro team.
I heard the meeting yesterday was how to say Babyliss.
Babyliss.
You know when Sophie does her interviews, I want her just to ask people how do you pronounce that?
That is a good video. Like you go, is Babyliss or Babyliss?
That's
or read this to see how many people are gonna read it. Right, just do that.
That's what we're doing after this. We're gonna.
Babyliss, are you gonna do that?
Babyliss, Babyliss, Babyliss.
Yeah.
You definitely tag them.
Yeah.
Ask Sophie too.
Yeah. Okay.
Like ask all the artists and then ask people that are around. That's a good video, Robbie.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, do it. Include me.
Okay, we'll do.
So
he'll say it with an accent.
Yeah, which is yeah. So it's good. So then I also work for IGK. So I'm the director of education for IGK and professional content. I've been with them since last year in February. So after working with Tony and Guy in TG, I did 20 years with the company,
mm-hmm.
right? And I, like I said, from the bottom all the way to, you know, like to be working with Anthony Mascolo on stage and traveling the world with them. And I did classes in every single academy they have, like Italy, London, collections, like Taiwan. I had a great time there. And now I'm with IGK, you know, like running the education, traveling almost every week, supporting, you know, sales and education, in-salon education, which I love. You know, I know that some people, they want to stop working or doing classes in small spaces with salons, and they only do shows. There's something about the connection that I have with, you know, in salons. I have such a great experience. I take the salon owner, hey, let's go to a coffee shop after. I like to do that a lot. It doesn't matter how big your career can be. It's nice to be surrounded by, you know, humble people in the salon, and you know that you're helping them.
Yeah.
So then I'm part of that journey with them. So I'm doing that. And also I started with Hanso Education. So we only done 1 weekend together in Washington. It was a great experience. So I'm
in
looking
DC?
Forward for, yeah.
Yeah,
that's, oh, we missed out on that.
Well, that's the, so that he was at Ash.
Oh, that's right. When you were at Ash, yes. I didn't realize that was a Hanso class.
Trying to the event.
Trying to find my rhythm, right? Because I know that there's not a specific format of doing classes. So everybody have like their own twist, which I like. Mm-hmm. But I'm structure, right? So I was like, how I can be myself, but at the same time, you know, help the brand and also be disciplined, right? So I think that I have a challenge for my next weekend to do better, right? But it's fun. You know, I like it.
That's really cool.
So I have like, yeah, 3 contracts right there.
Nice.
How do you like when you come to a show like this one, you know, and like you have so many contracts, how do you divide the time up? Or what's the demand just as an artist with a bunch of contracts?
So I'm here with Babyliss and also IGK, right? And I just ask for, you know, can you send me the schedule so then I can book with both, like right after.
So
I
who do you ask for the schedule?
Well, both.
So what if there's something that's conflicting?
I just, you know, talk about it. I say, hey, listen, can we push this one and this one? Like I was trying to push this and they said, no, you have to be, you already have a schedule for 10 a.m. in the morning. So then I went and checked my IGK and said, no, let's push for a little later. So that's conversation. Because I know that when they ask me for something, hey, for example, one day he's like, Joel, you're going to be doing BTC show, but we have Presley Paul that wants to, you know, we need to switch shows. And I say, no problem. Let's do it. She's my friend. I love her. So, yeah, let's do it. Just put me in another show and Presley can do, you know, the BTC show. So when they need me, I'm there. Mm-hmm. So when I ask, I just expect them to understand. So just having conversation. Like so far, no problem. Mm-hmm. But it's one day, it's going to be like a problem to be with 2 brands. It's like, okay, look, who pay me
or
the most?
Or 3 brands.
Who pay me the most? Right? And I have to choose, like, hey, I'm sorry. But so far, it's good.
So do you, and if it's too personal, we can definitely not talk about it, but do you get paid like per show or is it like an annual contract with some expectations?
So this is the thing. And this is for some of the folks right there that are looking for contracts. This information is for you. Yeah, so sometimes brands, they want to pay as an appearance, right? Right. But then what if they use you only two shows a year?
Right.
It's not that then you're missing an opportunity to make more money with other brands because you're locked in with that company, right? So for me, it's like, okay, let's talk, you know? I want a fixed salary, and I want this kind of money for the year. And if you don't use me for a show, then I make tutorials, and they're good. So I can do that for you. But this is what I'm looking for, you know? I think that that year, the times that I was, like, so afraid of negotiating, that's gone. You know, there's something happened in my 20 years with the previous brand, and I couldn't do anything else. And I was seeing, like, all my friends, like, killing it, like, having different contracts and having a voice and all that. It's like, well, I want something like that, mm-hmm. right? I want to take advantage of not just my education side of the business, also my social media and content creation. Because I do my own videos. Like, I do everything on my own. So I said, okay. And I probably have, like, a lot of money invested on my equipment. Like, I shoot with a Canon EOS R5, and I have...
You're not shooting a Sony?
No.
Porsche guy.
I used Sony for a little bit, but then the flippy screen was a no-no for me because I shoot by myself.
Right.
So EOS R came up with the flippy screen that I can see myself and I can put it vertical. And it's super crisp, and I don't have to do any post-production on editing. Mm-hmm. It's so clear. So I started shooting with them, and then after having, like, all the lenses, like, let me go to the R5. But I also have Sony in my house, so I shoot with both. But right now my tutorials is Canon. And I was like, I invested in my equipment, so now I can sit and say, no, I can create content for you. And that content is going to be, if you hired another person, you have to hire an agency, a videographer, post-production, you're going to pay a lot of money on that.
You know who's
so I'll do it myself, and then you pay me.
You know who's killing that game? Travis Parker.
Yeah.
Because he's getting paid by L'Oreal as an artist and L'Oreal as a production and L'Oreal.
We have a lot of conversations, me and him, about that, about gear and all that stuff. Yeah. I've always been into gears a very long time. I think when the industry
wasn't... I think it's the car guy in you.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. The industry wasn't ready. Like, my first couple of, like, content that I was creating with the camera, people were not ready. People were not ready for that. And every time I posted something with my phone, it was just, you know, crazy.
So
until one day I pushed myself and said, you know what? I'm going to do my content with a professional camera, with the best light, and I'm going to create a culture for that, right? And yeah, I did it, especially during the pandemic. Then my Instagram started, like, you know, growing for them. So now I'm, you know, like Travis Parker, the same thing, you know, creating, you know, content and the highest quality. I don't care for likes. I just go with the highest quality.
Mm, I like that.
So what if you were talking to somebody who was kind of coming up, and would you say that they should feel as confident in negotiating with brands, or do you think that there's a little, like, paying in and maybe taking what you can get in the beginning? Or what would you say to somebody who's
kind of... It's a combination. When you start, you have to start humble. You have to, you know, be lucky to get a nice company, but also some, like, a company they have a good mentors, then you can learn from them. Mm-hmm. So it's more about the experience than the money. Then at some point, a good balance of both. And then after that, maybe you can see it more comfortable and say, I know my worth. I know the work that I put into, you know, my career. So this is what I think I deserve.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because the piece of advice that I've given a few times is that experience has much more value than money when you're young. And that experience is going to pay you in the long run. Short money isn't going to pay you when you're in the latter part of your career. What's going to pay you is the experience that got you there. So if you're bypassing experience for money, you'll lose in the end.
Yeah. You have to be in some situation, that very painful situations that make you, you know, value yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Also, you know, maybe you have a contract that you don't like it, because that was the only opportunity that you have at that time. But that's great. But then through the difficult situation, see other people making it and doing this and doing that, it gives you fuel, right? Not everybody understand that, but if you understand that those situations make you stronger, then the only way for me to get a voice was just creating content. You know, yeah. I want people to see what I'm capable of. And that's what got me into Babyliss. Only one video that I did with a curling iron, super simple, nice music, I don't know, like 30-second video, it got me the contract for Babyliss.
Just that one? Was it a Babyliss curling iron?
Yeah.
Of course it was. That's
my so people ask me, it's my favorite tool because it got me a contract right now.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen, man.
Thanks, Babyliss. I love you guys.
You know, you're interesting. You're an interesting like subject almost. I'm going to put you there is because you were coming through the old hierarchy of like you had to work your way through a brand to get any recognition. You had to like there was this very specific ladder that you had to climb to get any kind of recognition. And then all of a sudden, social media came in and blew kind of that hierarchy aside. And yeah. now there's a different hierarchy about how you get attention.
I was like very so into the career, right? You know, like you know, I have to get better on this and on this and this. And then social media came, and then you know you're walking on the floor, and you know people stop you and say something. I still feel weird.
Oh yeah,
about that. And I try to change the subject right away. Hey, where are you from? Hey, well, yes, I've been there. Yeah, I love the city. I try to change the subject. I don't want you know people. Oh my gosh.
Hey, so this is an ask for anyone that's listening is if you see Joel on the floor, make sure that you attack him and tell him how much he means to you just to make him feel uncomfortable.
Oh, no. I'm gonna be blush. the entire floor. But it's also like how people raise you, right? So, yeah, my mom, she's not like that. We were having a conversation this morning. Yesterday, she wanted to buy an oven. She likes to do cakes. And that's basically how she raised me, like doing cakes, right? So he got a job and then afternoon, like selling cakes to the friends and to the church and, you know, paying for my tuition and all that, like my private school. It was a Catholic school. And she was like cleaning the church and all that. So she was asking me to buy an oven, right? A stove. And I said, just get whatever you want. I'll send you the money. Now I can, right? So, of course, right. I'll pay you back. Right. So she was sending me pictures this morning of the guys bringing the stove to the house.
Well, tomorrow excited. She better send you pictures of the cake of the guys.
Yes. Exactly, awesome. Right? Exactly. So it's like how people raise you that keep you, you know, grounded and humble.
Yeah. What's your mom's favorite cake that you eat?
Vanilla.
Like a sponge cake or like a regular cake?
A regular cake.
Yeah.
That is so good. Like when they mix, I just, you know, put my finger. Like, not my finger, like a spoon. And
then take it's a definitely his off. Finger. Yeah. He definitely stepped back from that.
He used to lick the balls when we were kids. Yeah.
When you're kids. I still do.
Yeah.
Whenever my wife's making cake, she still gives me the mixer thing.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and the I still mix
get,
is the best.
The mix is the best. I still get my tongue stuck in it, too.
Yeah. And then, the topping was like, they used to use like a syringe, big one, mm-hmm. right? Some people does it like with a plastic bag and they squeeze. But my mom used a different one, a professional one. So it's more like a syringe, like a big one, right? And then
like
I
from
used
Pulp
to
Fiction?
Help. I don't remember that part. But so think about this is like that, right? So I was taking.
Robbie, like give me your arm.
Yeah. Like taking like a knife and then. But like inside, like the frosty, the topping. I was doing that. And then I was just passing to her, especially on special occasions like, you know, Christmas and some Valentine's. So I was just helping. So then she can do, you know, the frosting part like super fast. I still can write like names on cakes those, you know, when I was a kid.
Nice.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's really cool. Does she make a flan?
Yeah, she can do like everything.
My wife is Cuban, and she does like this amazing flan with a little bit of like a lime zest in it. And if you haven't messed with a flan and lime zest, it's a game changer.
There's one dessert that is it's almost like a, I want to say like a pot, and then she put a plant on top, but it's like a chocolate mousse. So it looks like a little plant, right? And one day she was testing that, and she was like, I know this is eggs. And have this and this and this. And she started, you know, working on it. And then she got it.
Oh, wow.
And it was she went to like a restaurant and did it, and then she made it?
No, well, she tried it in a place, in a restaurant. It's like, I think I can make it. You have eggs. And she guessed like all the different ingredients and the mousse, and she did it. And then she put like Oreo, like scratch Oreo cookies, and then put it on top. And then she put like a artificial bland on top.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
That's so good. No, I need dessert now.
I know, right?
Hello, we need dessert. We were at a restaurant in New York a couple weeks ago, and they had chocolate chip cookies without chocolate chips. But instead of chocolate chips, they had crushed Oreo. So it's like a crushed Oreo chocolate chip cookie. Game changer.
Yeah.
Game
so
changer.
So good. By the way, we're in Orlando, so there's a place that I love here, like cookies.
Oh.
Gideon's in Disney Springs. Can't wait to go there. And
Gideon's. So Gideon's is the one.
Okay. Yeah, they're amazing. They're thick and really nice, crispy and soft inside. I love cookies.
I'm heading to Tampa after this, and I'm going to go have a Cuban meal over there. We have this really cool like hole in the wall, right? Like if you're going to eat Cuban food, like don't go fancy.
Right.
No, you have to be like a cafeteria or something
like that. Yeah. Like at one of the restaurants, like you literally walk through the kitchen to get to the bathroom. You know, like you see all the abuelitas back there, you know, cooking and stuff, you know, and you're like, hey, you know, I'm just using the bathroom. It's cool though, man.
Cool.
So, shout out to those holes in the walls, man. Now I've got Cuban on the mind.
Yeah, I'm thinking we're going to be in Miami in a few days, like this weekend. And there's this little place that's been there since I lived in Miami Beach in 2003. And it's still there. It's like a mom and pop shop. It's like you walk in there, you feel like the whole family is working there. It's awesome.
Those are the places,
yeah,
right?
It's called Puerto Sagua down in Miami Beach.
Say that again.
Puerto Sagua.
Okay, Puerto Aguas.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's amazing. Yeah.
So, Joel, what's that translate to? Now that your English is great.
Puerto means port, and agua is water.
No, oh, sagua. Sagua.
Sagua.
Sagua.
Then I don't know sagua.
S-A-G-U-A.
No. All together? Because puertos is like puerto.
Yeah, two words. Puerto, sagua.
Sagua.
S-A-G-U-A. I don't know.
If they're divided like that, then I don't know what is sagua.
Okay.
So
that's a place to go, though.
Right there?
If you're down in Miami Beach. Like down there. I think it's like 9th or 7th or something in Collins.
That's the place?
Yeah, that's the place to go.
I'm starving. Miami have like so many different places, like different cultures. So I love Peruvian food.
Yes.
For me, in South America, is the best food that you can go. And then Argentina, second. So Peruvian, like ceviche, it's so rich and so nice in Miami. So there's many, many places that you can go in Miami for food.
Nice. I
have all that, like Cubans, Puerto Ricans, Venezuelans, and then you have Brazilians, and then Asian food is amazing there as well. So you have a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those cities that they have, a lot of cultures.
All of it, right?
And, yeah.
Well, we're in D.C., so we get all that too. And we have that.
D.C. is incredible.
Who's that Spanish chef that's in D.C.?
Jose Andres.
Jose Andres. Yeah, he has a bunch of restaurants there.
He's everywhere.
Literally, he's everywhere.
Yeah. He's here as well. In Disney Springs, I think.
In Disney Springs?
Yeah.
Well, he's literally, wherever, like, shit's breaking off, he's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's in Puerto Rico as well.
Yeah. Was he down there for, like, the hurricane? Well, he was in Haiti for the hurricanes, right?
Yeah. And then Puerto Rico as well. Yeah, he was helping. Yeah.
That's such a saint, that dude, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Making millions in one side and the other one helping people. That's nice.
Giving it, right? One of my clients, that's her neighbor. So she says he walks... I might be talking out of school. Hold on. We'll do it. So he walks in his backyard on the phone, and then, you know, of course, being loud in Latin or loud in Spanish, you know, he's running in the backyard, and she can hear the whole conversation. It's all in Spanish.
You can guess, like, a few words. Cerveza, paella.
That's right. Paella. Exactly.
He's making paella. I know the new recipe.
Call your mom.
It's been a fun podcast. I love it.
Normally
I'm shy and I'm quiet and I'm like, but I've been different.
You've been different. Well, we got to talk about cars. We got to talk about food.
Right.
We got to talk
about
things
that I like.
All this
love
stuff,
it.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It's what love fires it. Us up. Joel, how can people find you?
So on social media, on Instagram, I have Joel Torres Style.
And by the way, Joel is spelled Joel.
Joel. Yeah.
Joel.
Why you guys? Why you guys in the States says Joel, but you says Noel?
Oh, good question.
If you're going to start asking English questions, none of them make sense.
Yeah.
But none of the rules make sense.
But I'm glad that in the NBA, there's a Joel Embiid.
There you go.
And he's the same way as me. Right? So now, I don't know. Joel, Joel Torres Style on Instagram and TikTok. And then on YouTube, I have Joel Torres PR as Puerto Rico.
Of course.
PR. All right. So those three are my main. I'm gonna start working on some videos for YouTube. I'm gonna change the format of my tutorials. I'm taking a break right now because I was like, I don't know, I was feeling like I was creating, and not having that much fun. So I'm taking a break. I haven't posted anything other than my story in a little bit, but I'm coming stronger, right? So can't wait to put more stuff out there.
I can't wait either, because when I was having the conversation with Gordon Miller yesterday, he said that Joel is always 6 months ahead of the trend. So watch what Joel's doing today, and in 6 months, that'll be the trend. So he,
and it's not that I have like a magic ball and I watch the future, what is coming. It's just for me, I'm not even thinking what we're missing in the industry. It's more like how I'm feeling. You know, I feel like...
Well, your feelings are 6 months in the future.
So but during the pandemic, I was sharing, and if you see my videos, by the way, I like to say this, you know, I want to say I was the first one making videos that it was stationary with a mannequin and you're just showing your hands because it was a need on me. And I was using music because I was, I don't know, my English, you know, you listen to Jacob Khan doing voiceovers and all that. And I was like, oh my God, this dude is amazing. So I feel weird if I record my voice. Plus, it's a whole production. And I have the production. I have the mics and I have a recorder that I can do everything on the and then clap just to put everything together. But it's a lot of work, right? And I don't have the time. So my videos were simple from the beginning, 10 years ago. It's like music instead of voiceover and then my hands cutting hair, right? And I was like doing a lot of techniques. And people were learning those techniques. Now they do it on their videos. Thank me later. they don't even know what they're doing, but they following what I was doing. And there's a lot of videos that they're basically like very similar to my videos. But I was the only, the first one. And it's there, documented. So go to my Instagram a couple of years ago and you see that I was doing that type of video with the mannequin. And it's always like stationary because it was a mannequin. So I was moving the cameras. One camera moving to get different angles.
Oh, really?
Different angles. Oh, because for me, it's how I would like to see videos. Right? Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh, I think it would be nice if I change. I'm going to put the camera on the bottom and then have the hair coming down. Or I'm going to put the camera on the top. And I was just trying to find a way to do it. This is before pandemic. A camera on top so people can see my sectioning from the top. Right? I was when you want something really really hard, it's like I was dreaming with the idea of being in one of those Tony Young guys collections, because that's what got me into the discipline of cutting, the romanticism of my friend cutting. So I said like, oh, the collections, one day I'm gonna be in those collections, but I have to practice. So I was just practicing and recording everything, and then making those weird angles with my camera until I was getting like the opportunity.
That's
and
awesome.
Then I got the opportunity. They called me, hey, we're going to London. We're going to do the first collection. I was like, oh, crap. It's happening, right? So I did a couple of collections. And for me, it was like, yes. You know, I learned that. It's like when you, I'm forgetting the word, manifest something.
Yeah.
So that's why I was doing those videos. It was more like you're visualizing me doing those videos. And then once I did the videos, the collection, then it's like, oh, how I can take it to the next level. I'm going to start using backdrops with color based on tasty. Tasty was one camera on top and then doing something easy like a recipe. So that was my biggest inspiration. I'm going to keep it simple for the hair industry. And I know that there's big things that are going to come. So I started investing in lights and stuff like that. And then I found a different way of making videos. And then I progress into, now I have the little space in the salon, so I want to show a little bit of the salon. And I'm going to show a little bit of my face, but everything was mostly like my hands.
You know, it's interesting that you said that because or talk about like not wanting to speak on camera or not speaking on camera. But like I watch A-Rod and like what he did and what his thing is he'll do one in English and then his next post is in Spanish. He'll do one in English and the next one in Spanish. Have you ever thought about like doubling down on your Spanish?
Yes, I have a couple of ideas. You know, like it's very different. Like I have a person in Argentina that she got a tattoo, my face.
No.
What?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That was crazy. The amount.
Wait, hold on. Was this your best friend or were you a little scared?
And was it a good picture? Did you like it? Was it a good picture of you?
It looks great. Yeah. I think I'm super thankful. You know what I told her? I'm going to show you the picture. You know what I told her? It's like when I'm in Buenos Aires, you know, like we can take, you know, time and grab a coffee. You know, I want to meet you.
Yeah.
So she on a bus for 2 hours, met me.
Whoa.
We took a picture. And then we spent like 30 minutes, me and another friend and her. And then she, another 2 hours, go back to, because she couldn't make it to the show. She didn't have the money to pay for for the class. But the class was 4 hours from there. So I said, like, I can give you the ticket. You can be the assistant. You can be backstage. I just wanted to be thankful.
You can sweep. Just be there.
But she couldn't make it. So I said, I found time on that city because we're stopping in that city in between the shows. So anyway, that's, you know, it's like something big. What I'm saying is that the amount of appreciation for education there, it's so incredible. People are so thankful for opportunities like that. And they stay the class. And there was one day that we finished about like midnight. We started cutting each other. We ordered beer and pizza. And people were staying. They wanted to spend more time with you. Here, you're not even finishing the haircut. And people is like, I have an appointment. And it's like, yeah, I get it. It's Monday, but it's only one Monday. Like, yeah, it's different. You know, people here, they don't know like how accessible is education in the United States. But those places, they don't have the same education. Or they have education, but they don't have those international artists coming with new trends and new ideas. And they take advantage of that. It's incredible. So it's a little video.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Come on.
So people really appreciate, you know, when they have situations like that. And I love going to South America because keep me humble like that. Just seeing them, like, watching. Oh, my gosh, I've been watching your videos for so long. And now
now you're here. Right?
So I like to go there. So, yes, definitely I want to, you know, do a little more in Spanish.
You should definitely double down on that.
When I compare my Spanish versus English, like I don't sound repetitive. It's just so many words for one meaning. And you don't have that in English. Right? So I can, yeah, every sentence is like fire. And I love
it. In Spanish.
In Spanish, yeah. Mm. And every country have a different word. So then you learn what they say. For banks or fringe. That's the only two words that you guys use.
Yep.
It's actually bangs. Fringe is more like the British. They don't use bang because it's something else, right? So they use fringe.
That happened to me in England. I was at Graham Webb, and we did an exchange thing, so we're cutting hair in England, and I was cutting this woman's hair, and I go, so tell me how you like your bangs. Turned bright red, and I turned because at that point I realized what I said. Like the words halfway out of my mouth, and I'm trying to like push it back. You know,
and what you say, sweaty and
no.
The French, greasy and no. We're talking about the French.
So the instructor was like, he ran over and like made some like Americans are stupid joke, you know. And then here's the best part. So you know how you're when you're doing a fringe, you're like basically like straddling someone to cut the fringe. So I'm straddling her, and she pulls me close, and she goes, "I prefer to be on top."
Get away! Oh my god!
Intense, right? Sweaty and greasy.
So what are the words in Spanish?
Yeah, what are they?
So for I'm gonna start because it's a few. For bangs, is in my country is pollina, fleco, flequilla, cerquillo. Chasquilla, pava, gallusa. That's seven words already.
And is that different in each country?
Each country is different.
So, like, if you were to go to, like, so, but do you have to find the word?
There's
like what?
One neutral one, which is fleco.
Which is bangs.
Fleco.
Fleco.
And people understand.
Is that close to flaco?
Yeah. Flacco, skinny, right?
Yeah.
So Flacco with the E. So Flacco. So that's the one that is more like universal. So I go with something universal, but then I ask for what is the word here? I already know the country. So then I use that word. So it's like it keeps all the conversation interesting because the countries that you're visiting, even though it's Spanish, they use different words.
And some of the, I know like some of like the curse words are like more extreme in some, yeah. in some countries and less extreme in other countries.
Yeah.
You know, but that's kind of American too. Like there's some words that the British, I think we talked about this the other day. Yeah. There's some words that the British use that we would never use in America, you know, but it just comes off so easily. You know?
Yeah. And then, you know, you have the double meaning. So people like, for example, if I'm going to take this, you can grab or you can take, mm-hmm. but then what I say, coger, which is grab. Mm-hmm. If I say that word in Mexico means sex.
Oh.
Mm.
So it's almost like I'm going to take you. I'm going to. Yeah.
That sounds a little rapey to me, Joel.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, taking something, right? Yeah. So it's like, oh, we're going to have sex or something like that. So you have to be careful what the word. And then in Spain. But in my country, it's you're going to grab something, right? And vice versa, right? So it's just weird. You have to be careful whatever you go.
You just got to know. You got to know the difference.
It's the same with bangs and fringe. The same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Joel, thank you so much, man. Thank you for making time for us. That hour flew by like that, man.
Yep.
It was just good.
No, thank you for having me. Like,
absolutely, man.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, a great time.
Tony, who's not here, you know, he was like, we got to get Joel on. So he's going to be so mad that he's not here to meet you. But I'm sure we can make it happen. Yep. You know,
can do another awesome one.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're in. We'll talk about cars and cake. Or maybe that's the title of the podcast, Cars and Cake.
Yeah. Cars and Cakes.
Joel Torres, Cars and Cake. That's awesome. Once again, thank you very much. Have an awesome day, and we will definitely see you on the show circuit. So Mr. Robbie Lawrence and Mr. Joel Torres, thank you very, very much for joining us on Your Day Off.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, share it with friends, give us a rating, and drop a review. To listen to all the latest podcasts, please subscribe from your favorite podcast outlet. And to stay connected on and off the show, you can follow us at Hairdistry on Instagram and all other social media platforms. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Peace and love.